Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand? LA living
gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. With my NPR voice, this is Owen Main. Today we're joined by one of our baseball, we'll call him a baseball expert, baseball insider, Jesse Pereira.
Good times.
What's
good,
up, Jesse?
Good times.
So this week's been a really fun week for a lot of reasons for a lot of baseball teams. And since everything happened with the Dodgers, I figured I'd throw out a podcast with Jesse since he and I have both been engaged in lots of Dodger conversation. At the end of this podcast or the second half of this podcast will be an interview, I guess, or a conversation with Kevin, our buddy Kevin Q. And that will be a little bit, probably a little bit less positive about everything that the Dodgers have done. Jesse and I are going to be pretty positive, though. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you, if you're a Giants fan or kind of a Debbie Downer Dodger fan right now, you may not agree with everything that Jesse and I have to say. I think that's a pretty safe.
Owen and I are going to be high-fiving a lot, probably.
A lot of high-fiving, a lot of ass-slapping.
Yeah.
Is potentially going to happen. So
just I think of the volleyball scene from Tom Cruise, Top Gun, you know.
Goose.
Yeah.
It's so funny because Tom Cruise would be the worst volleyball player.
Kevin's Iceman.
Tom Cruise would be the worst beach volleyball player.
Because, you're dangerous, Friedman.
Because like he would be like an okay maybe libero. Is that what it's called? I think it's the position where you play just defense in volleyball because he's so short.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah. Okay. For those of you volleyball aficionados. So the Dodgers, of course, this week went crazy at the end of the winter meetings. They kind of blew the lid off, if you will, and made me super excited in terms of what the outlook is for the future and what this ownership group is capable of, what this management group is capable of in terms of, I shouldn't say ownership group because they've been there for a while, but what Andrew Friedman and is it Farhan Zaidi?
Oh, I haven't even tried.
Okay, yeah. What they've, he's the general manager, what they've both really been able to bring to the table in terms of not being afraid, not giving a crap, and being able to, you know, make the team what they want the team to be. You know, in the past, I think, you know, it's kind of the standard for general managers in the league to maybe kind of let the market dictate what you want to do versus kind of going out and being aggressive in terms of controlling a free agent market or a trade market. And it seems like the Dodgers, in dealing with three different teams at least just in, you know, a day and signing a free agent pitcher all at the same time, essentially all simultaneously, kind of started to exert their will on the market.
And throwing away conventions too. They traded, you know, the big no-nos are, oh, division rival. We don't trade with the division rival.
That's what
no.
I mean. Like, oh, they don't give a crap.
Oh my goodness. No, we can't trade to San Diego.
So let's just run it down really quick and you can tell me, they traded with four teams, sorry. So you can tell me what you think. Number one trade that got announced, which maybe isn't even done yet, is the Jimmy Rollins trade.
Yeah, it's weird that was the first one to come out and it's still not finalized. I think there's moving pieces, pending physicals.
How much do you think Cole Hamels is like still a question mark in that trade? Like they've just only announced Jimmy Rollins, but it's actually going to be Jimmy Rollins and Cole Hamels. That's what I keep like wondering about.
I think it'd be incredible if it hasn't leaked yet.
Do you think to me, it's like maybe they're just trying to negotiate with Hamels for an extension before, and the Phillies have given them some time to negotiate an extension with Hamels. And so they're like, and they're going to give up like maybe Urias or Seager.
I really don't know. I mean, it seems like it would have been, I can't imagine that it hasn't leaked. I mean, they were leaking. Someone went to the bathroom and there's someone tweeting.
You're saying somebody's leaking in the bathroom? Yeah. Is that your breaking news?
Ah, no pun intended. Damn.
No pun intended. Yeah. Yeah.
But it definitely, there's something fishy about it. Like there's more stuff going on.
There's more to it. That's why you say the Dodgers aren't done. So that all being said, it's basically been a done deal that Jimmy Rollins is going to be the shortstop for the Dodgers next year. The Dodgers traded away. Who did they trade even for Jimmy Rollins?
That's the point. We don't. Nobody.
Nobody knows.
We got him for free so far.
Yeah. Okay. So Jimmy Rollins will be on the Dodgers. Manning shortstop. They also, and this was like I think the biggest trade in their favor, and even you know I think even Kevin later on will agree with us in terms of D. Gordon and fleecing the Marlins for a number of really great prospects. They traded D. Gordon, who is probably like an average second baseman at best right now. He has zero power.
He made some really great plays, but he missed some really...
Yeah. Defensively, he's average. Offensively, he's really fast, but doesn't hit very well and doesn't get on base, so that's not a great combo. And so when you look at that trade, they were able to get, I think, what, four? They traded Gordon and a backup shortstop for, I think, three or four good prospects, one of which...
A decent offensive catcher, the best pitcher in the Marlins system.
Right.
And then was there two other guys?
One or two other guys, one of which is a pitcher who can be like a mid-level guy.
They all had good numbers, though.
Yeah.
They were all solid players.
And so you're going to see... You saw the Dodgers then turn around and trade one of those guys for a second baseman who's better than D. Gordon. So this was like the part where you said, oh my gosh, these guys are just like, how are they so much smarter than everybody else? How are the Marlins so dumb? Like, I like D. Gordon. It's I think harsh. He's, I, no, but like, I mean, right? It's like, how did you think that, I mean, the Marlins theoretically, if they wanted a second baseman, could have traded just Heaney for Howie Kendrick and just been done with it. And right, I mean, this is the market, though, right? So the Dodgers got all these valuable assets. Obviously, the Angels thought Heaney was valuable enough to give up the last year of
to give up. They have a hole at second base now. Right. Now they're trying to fill a second.
Josh game. Rutledge is somebody who's been talked about, I think. So yeah, I'm really, you know, again, I'm really interested to know kind of what the Marlins were thinking. I think whether D. Gordon has a great season this year will be something that people look at. So, you know, you have this D. Gordon for Howie Kendrick kind of flip, and the Dodgers also end up with prospects. Let's just evaluate that part of it first. I mean, that's a coup for the Dodgers, right? I mean,
well, they addressed two needs or one. Well, they I don't even know where to start. they gave up, they needed a shortstop. I mean, and now they have,
gave up something for a shortstop.
Yeah, sure something. Yeah. Probably some of the pieces that they're getting from San Diego. They added a shortstop. They got better up the middle defensively. They put more depth in their system. They're not. There's no long range commitments to anybody. You know, the big thing with what they did is now they're what was out there as a free agent for shortstop. Nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, people are evaluating
Dribble Cabrera.
People are evaluating Rollins versus Hanley. And I don't think that that's a fair evaluation.
They had already lost Hanley.
Hanley,
yeah.
Everybody knew Hanley wasn't coming back. So now you're evaluating. You need to evaluate Rollins versus
Arboreno.
What does it take to get Asdrubal Cabrera? What does it take to get Steven Drew, Jed Lowry, guys that aren't even really shortstops anymore at this point in their career? Which Rollins,
well, what does it take to trade for Alexi Ramirez or to trade for Elvis Andrews in terms of depleting your farm system?
And Rollins, sure, everybody's like, oh, he's so old. It's like he's still one of the better offensive shortstops in the league.
He's still slightly above average. And so slightly above average defensively and being able to play 150 games or 140 games even at shortstop.
With pop and speed.
With a little bit of pop and some speed and a guy who can hit basically anywhere in the order and is a switch hitter.
Measured against the metrics of free agent shortstops.
Right. you got a better option than what was out there on the other market there. So yeah, that's awesome. And then when you replace Gordon with Kendrick, Kendrick's just better in every way, I think, right? Except for not as fast.
He doesn't steal bases, but I don't think that's the all that Gordon really had going for him.
And Moneyball guys don't like stolen bases anyway.
No, but I think Gordon's success rate was above the waterline.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, that was like the one thing that made Gordon super successful. And if Gordon would have walked more, he would have had more stolen bases because he would have had more opportunities to be on base. He just doesn't walk and he strikes out a lot too.
They turned three good months from D. Gordon, who at the beginning of 2014 wasn't even the starter and was basically done.
They sold high.
And got back organizational depth and a better second baseman.
Right. You couldn't have asked for something kind of better in terms of a two-trade situation than they did with the Marlins and then with the Angels. And I don't blame the Angels. The Angels wanted young pitching, and, you know, we'll see what kind of hole they created at second base. But and how good Heaney is too, I guess.
And I wonder what kind of free agents, you know, that's the other part is what, and we know that the Dodgers front office has looked at this, what free agents are available after 2015, because we have 2 1-year contracts up the middle. Right. So I know that there's...
Well, and depending on how those guys play, you know, there's always the option to, like, you know, platoon if you have a guy in your farm system for a year next year. You know, you sign somebody on a more, you know, more reasonable kind of a 1-year contract if they like being there. Whether you're talking about Kendrick or Rollins even potentially. Rollins seems like he's still in decent shape, you know, while he's losing a step or two. It's not catastrophic for him, right?
No, he's still one of the better shortstops around.
So, you know, again, kind of the first two or three moves that the Dodgers made were, and this is like an all Dodgers podcast, you know, just to kind of be fully transparent with everybody, anybody who's listening. The first 2-3 moves the Dodgers made, you could argue, oh my gosh, this is just amazing. There's not a lot of real justification for frustration from anybody. And the fourth move is a lot more polarizing because a regular fan has this picture of Matt Kemp as somebody who is consistently dominant when healthy, is as somebody who probably is athletic, is very athletic, like he was when he first came up. I remember watching him go from first to third in his first or second season, and he was like as fast first to third. He was like Vlad Guerrero, like a young Vlad Guerrero. And I think that might be, like, in the end, an interesting comparison just in terms of health, because he's built a little bit like Vlad in terms of being tall and a little bit athletic. And in terms of Vlad, like he's got some injury issues that are causing him to be less and less athletic too. And I'm interested to see.
I don't think Vlad lost 2 years right in the middle of his prime though.
No, but he gradually, like, his back got just jacked up at, like,
the second. Yeah, but it was towards the end.
You think it was only towards the end?
Yeah, he's got over 400 home runs in his career. I mean, Kemp's not going to, how many does Kemp have? I don't think he's going to sniff 400.
Really?
No.
The Padres hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
if he does,
San
the
Diego.
Padres contract will be well worth it, right? I'm just talking about in terms of body type, I guess, and watching guys run around the bases, like in terms of how stiff he is when he runs now, he looks a little bit like that because he's definitely a lot less loose as he's galloping around the bases. I remember thinking, man, this guy's a horse. He's going to be awesome. But, you know, with all the injuries that he's had, you know, he's definitely losing a little bit of that part of his game. And then, you know, based on what you think about his defensive numbers too, and whether you buy into the fact that he hasn't been a very good defender over the past few years, a lot of casual fans don't really have access or care to know still. You know, I think a lot more fans and myself included are doing a better job of looking at all the information available in terms of numbers and so forth. But there's a lot of fans that see Matt Kemp and they're like, this is the guy who was almost the MVP 2 years ago. He's been hurt since then. He's going to be great this year. And maybe that's rose-colored glasses to be looking through, yeah? Or blue-colored glasses? I don't know.
I think it's difficult. Like, if I want to know how many home runs, and this is the big stat that everybody's, Matt Kemp hit 25 home runs, had however many RBI.
15 in the second, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. Season. If I want to look that up, it takes 2 seconds. Maybe less, depending on your internet connection.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If I want to look up Matt Kemp being terrible at center field, there's really not...
There's like two websites.
That's a tougher metric, and it's hard to understand for most people. So it really comes down to, did you watch him a lot, and are you willing to put forth the effort to see, you know, is he really actually a good defensive center fielder?
Yeah, because you could have seen one game when he went and made a diving catch.
Yeah, some diving, or caught one off the wall or something.
And maybe that's a game that... I don't know, a replacement level guy wouldn't have had to dive for that catch because he got such a bad jump, for instance.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what's so typical. And that's part of why you can't do this with defense. You can't just look it up.
And you can't just watch like a couple games. And we haven't been able to watch any games from here lately. So like, what the hell? What the hell does it matter? Right. But that's kind of part of that.
Right. It's just harder to see. And that's,
You have to trust the numbers even though you don't really want to sometimes.
The big catchword is hashtag right-hand power.
Well, and so right-hand power, there's just zero on the market right now. And if you're looking for it, as like the Mariners and Padres and other teams like that have been.
You overpay for Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, absolutely. You overpay for Nelson Cruz. You overpay for, you know, a lot of these guys.
Nick Markakis.
Somebody got traded recently. Nick Markakis is left-handed.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. but that, I mean, you know, power in general is like, is a commodity now. It's not like 10 years ago when everybody was hitting 35 or 40 homers. It's everybody's hitting 15 or 20. And if you have a guy who can hit 25 or 30, that's kind of a big deal in terms of numbers. But if you don't have other things around it, you know, then those 25 or 30 homers might be kind of a hollow stat. If you're striking out a ton and if you're not walking and if you're, you know, if you're not a good defender, I mean, that's kind of the latest thing to have, the, you know, that people are looking at in terms of a stat that's still relatively young, I think, and maybe relatively, imprecise still. That's great podcasting, Jesse. I mean, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and nod. Thanks, man.
I got nothing for you.
All right. Cool. So then, like, you know, they get Grandal in the trade too, and this is one of the things that I think is going to be fascinating about this year. I don't know. I think a lot of things about the Dodgers this season are really, really interesting, and I hope at some point they get on TV in San Luis Obispo. As a side note,
yeah,
that'd be nice.
Can we write somebody?
I've written them all, man.
It's called Friedman. Seems like he's the guy who gets things done.
He does get things done. Unfortunately, Stan Kasten and Magic Johnson and everybody else, I mean, they don't have a legal recourse.
So with Grandal, you know, it's the same thing with
Grandal. Yasmani Grandal.
That's a lot of name. It's the same thing with Rollins. What's out there as a free agent? What are you going to sign as a catcher?
AJ Ellis, it can hit from the right side now against lefties, and and he can catch Kershaw.
You're
going to
pay $82 million for Russell Martin?
No.
I mean, come on. Right.
Again, you're giving yourself flexibility versus what you would have done. The Dodgers absolutely have the money to have gone out and signed Russell Martin and gone out and paid some random guy who couldn't play shortstop very well, or they could have paid Hanley, right? I mean, they have the money. They could have done it, but what else can they improve by getting somebody who's solid at that position for a lot cheaper?
When the ownership group came in, they said that their goals were to become immediately competitive, which they did.
Well, to stay immediately competitive? Oh, the ownership group.
Yeah. To stay. This is when the ownership group came in. To stay competitive, but to let fans know that, hey, you know, we're out here. We're here to win. We, you know, everybody was still burnt from the McCourt era.
So they traded for Gonzalez and everybody.
Spent a bunch of money
on that trade,
and on that trade specifically, you know, they spent some money on Greinke. They locked up Kershaw for $250 million, and now we're seeing the second half of their edict when they came in, and that is, we want to build from within and do this with our own guys and grow from within and extend our own guys. And that's it. I think after last year, it was clear to me that the team that we had was not going to get over the hump. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I'm always a guy who wants to wait and wants to be patient, and I'm fine with doing a mini blow up right now.
Yeah, they weren't going anywhere.
I'm fine with that, honestly. Like, I'm not usually fine with panic and blowing things up, but I don't feel like it's panic.
No, it's very measured.
It's totally measured move. And that makes me so comfortable with it. I don't know why. Like, I just get this like measured vibe.
Is it going to be a different team? Absolutely. Totally different team.
I don't think it's going to be any less fun to watch, though. No. And I think guys like Jimmy Rollins, you know,
fans. We've wanted Rollins for years.
Fans will be able to get behind Rollins. Fans will be able to get behind Howie Kendrick. Howie Kendrick was a fan favorite, and, you know, a lot of Angels fans are crying tears right now because they traded away Howie Kendrick. They felt like they got fleeced, too. And, you know, for the team with the best record in baseball last year, you know, maybe the idea is, hey, it didn't matter that we had Howie Kendrick during the whole season last year. It just matters that we need X amount of pitchers and X amount of players for the postseason. We still think we're good enough to make the postseason even without Kendrick. And here's how we can, you know, have a cheap starting pitcher now, too.
Yeah.
Because pitching depth was a big deal for them, too.
And Rollins has been linked to the Dodgers for years. He's from California. Hamels has also been linked to the Dodgers for years.
Which is what I'm just like, I don't know. I think that would be like the neatest thing if it was all like a big, not a ploy, but like a thing to like, okay, now we can trade. Yes, we are going to give up one of our big pieces, whoever that big piece is. You know, I could see him giving up like Seager or Urias?
Who knows? I don't even try with the name.
Yeah. The pitcher or the shortstop?
I don't even know if Markakis is left-handed. And you're asking me to pronounce names.
You know, I always thought Ian Kennedy was left-handed when I had him on my fantasy team for like a year, and then I finally watched him pitch. And I'm like, oh, he's right-handed. Cool.
He's also redheaded.
Ian Kennedy is?
Yes.
Right-handed and redheaded.
Right-handed, redheaded. Yeah.
Fair enough. and kind of a jerk in terms of like pegging Puig in the face and stuff. But
aren't you bummed he wasn't included in the trade?
Ian Kennedy?
Yeah.
From who?
With the Matt Kemp.
Oh yeah, he's.
That would have been amazing if Kennedy came over too.
You know what? Like as a five on that team.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking. I was just thinking in terms of him and Puig being on the same team.
Yeah, but as a five, like that's intriguing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I mean,
and he's walking after next year too. He is.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, he's been around. He's been on the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks got our old friend Ruby De La Rosa.
Yeah. Yep.
So he'll be a starter for them, I think, this year. So that'll be. That'll be fun to see.
Sorry. Lots of Dodger names bouncing around. Evoldi, Nathan.
Yeah, there's a guy named Miller maybe that got traded with De La Rosa in that big Red Sox trade who also went to the Diamondbacks too. Andrew Miller? Does that name sound familiar?
Andrew Miller was the big free agent relief pitcher that from Baltimore. Mm.
Andrew W. What? Anyway.
Webster. Alan Webster.
Alan Webster. Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yes.
High five.
I don't know if he's right-handed though.
He probably throws fireballs though.
I think he throws with both arms.
That would be amazing to see. So, so then like I was going back to like Grandal. I think him being able to hit is maybe an underrated thing that the Dodgers are hoping that he actually turns into like a, you know, 280, 290 hitter with a little bit of pop who can when you get to the playoffs be like that catcher who's rested and who actually like does something at that point maybe.
You know, I was looking on and I read this article, I don't know, I feel like it's a couple months old, but it was an article on FanGraphs, and it used the term Mesoraco as a verb. And the article was, can Yasmani Grandal Mesoraco?
Mesoraco his way to a productive season?
So basically saying that obviously Devin Mesoraco had a huge breakout this year, and the article was essentially saying that Grandal is primed to do the same thing. Yeah. And now he's on the Dodgers with a team that really believes in sabermetrics.
And they can sit him against lefties and that kind of thing. And
They don't even have to throw. He's not even getting thrown into. I mean, he's honestly, Ellis is going to still be receiving for Kershaw, possibly Greinke.
Kershaw and probably any left-handed pitcher who they're facing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'll say. Like, I think that's probably the plan.
But we know that Kershaw specifically.
Have they signed? I think feel like Ellis is a free agent, though. Like, they haven't necessarily signed him.
I think he's under team control.
Is he?
I think it's maybe arbitration.
I feel like they non-tendered him.
I don't know.
Okay.
He's on the team next year for sure.
Wow. That's a bold statement from Jesse
Pereira. Oh, well, I mean, he could be traded, I suppose. Nobody's safe, obviously.
I don't know that he's on the team next year for sure, but maybe that's something they've done.
I'm pretty certain he's on the team.
Okay. Well, anyway, that would be a fine platoon for me.
Yeah.
And both of those guys need a little bit of rest. You know, catchers.
It's a tough position.
Yeah, you don't want to have a catcher catching 140, 150 games or something silly. Any other, like, big things? If I give you the choice, Jesse, and this is the last question I'm going to ask you before we bring in Kevin and get a little bit of less ass slapping and maybe more face slapping. if you had a choice between trading somebody like Seager or Urias for Hamels, paying Shields what he's going to get on the open market, paying Scherzer what he's going to get on the open market, or trying to figure something else out. What is your, if you can do one of those things, what is your, or, you know, and by figuring something else out, maybe being able to sign more bullpen guys. I don't know who's out there in terms of bullpen guys at this point. Kind of standing pat at some level. I don't know. What's your preference?
I roll with what we have. I mean, I think that we're trying to move towards building from within. And if we start trading away our guys and continually going after expensive guys, then that doesn't work. But, you know, of the guys that are out there, Hamels is the most affordable. $96 million for 4 years. I mean, I'd rather have him than James Shields, and right. I have a feeling he's going to get a bigger contract than that.
But it's not just 96 for four. It would be 96 and you lose a prospect for four, and that's the big question.
Yeah, right. It depends on the prospect. I mean, if it's, I don't want to give up our guys. If
I said Seager or Urias.
No, I don't do it.
Peterson? And you roll with the other three in the outfield this year?
I don't do it. I don't do it. Peterson's we haven't seen what he can do. He came up for a little bit last year.
You know who I think would be amazing in Philadelphia if we paid some of his salary to go there?
Ethier.
I think Ethier would like kill that short porch. I think Ethier could have like a 295.
See, I'm holding
like
out
28-30 homer season with, you know, with a short porch in, out there, and
I'm holding out for an Ethier Danks trade.
Danks with the White Sox?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, that could happen too, but I really feel like Ethier to the Phillies and paying some of Ethier's salary and taking back Hamels and
you got to give more than just Ethier.
You think if you pay like most of his salary?
Well, now then Hamels isn't worth 96.
Hamels
then,
isn't cheap,
then
right?
Then you're paying. Yeah,
no, I know.
You're paying.
But you're going to pay one way or the other. You're going to pay one way or the other, though, right? I don't know. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know what I would rather have.
Philadelphia's trying to rebuild. They want young guys.
I do know that I would be excited to have Hamels on the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on.
Just like I would have been excited last year to have Price be traded to us.
Sure. And maybe Price is the answer. Maybe
yeah, the Tigers back. May the Tigers may
They're
trade
talking
Price.
About Price getting traded. What are they going to want? They want to win now.
They want your well. Do they?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the owner's elderly.
Yeah, yeah. They keep mortgaging.
They're trying
the
to
future.
Win now for yeah. the owner.
Interesting.
Who's going to die? It's kind of dark to talk about. Yeah, yeah. That's, he wants to win now okay. before he, you yeah. know.
All right. So
bummer.
Yeah, totally bummer.
How did we get there? That's awful.
You got there very quickly.
I'm just talking about the truth.
Okay, cool. So I'm all cool, Jesse. So I might have Jesse like, we'll see if he wants to, but I might ask him to do things like do some like quick analysis of different things on our site as this off season rolls on. I know he's done a few things in the past. And so that
I'm good at promising articles, bad at
and
writing them.
Never actually doing it. Yeah. Plus with a second kid on the way. That's just gonna be scary.
There's more downtime with babies than no, that's I'm just telling myself that.
When you have a baby and a 5 year old though.
The 5 year old will watch them.
What do you got, like a month? T minus?
Less than.
Oh my God.
It's like 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like any time.
My wife probably shouldn't be alone right now.
Like, where's your phone? Has it buzzed?
I don't know. Honestly. I think we're okay.
Okay.
We've got the mini Moffitts.
Oh yeah, at your house?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. What up, Evan? If you're listening. Yeah. All right. I think we're gonna go ahead and take a break, and we're gonna call Kevin. And we're going to get his take on some of the stuff that has gone on. He's got a little less rose-colored glasses about everything than we do. But the bottom line for me, and to kind of wrap up our part, is that the Dodgers made themselves better, I think, or they didn't get worse overall, if you believe in wins above replacement as an accurate thing to measure teams and their ability. I don't think they got worse from 3 or 4 days ago to today. I think that... and if they got worse, it's marginally worse. And I think that they gave themselves a lot of flexibility, both in terms of minor league players and prospects, and also in terms of cash. Is that a good summation of what they did?
I mean, as of right now, it's Kemp and D. Gordon and Dan Herron.
Oh, and Miguel Rojas.
I'm not going to name any. Well, yeah, okay. Kemp, D. Gordon, Dan Herron for Kendrick, Rollins, and Grandel.
And prospects.
I'm not counting the prospects. That's just like if you look at just major leaguers, that's what it is. That's
just straight
what
across
done.
The board.
That's what they've done.
Right.
And that doesn't sound that terrible.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound that terrible. Unless you overvalue D. Gordon and overvalue Matt Kemp.
Yep. That's the only way it works.
Which is the market that we're in.
Which honestly, I mean, I love D. Gordon, but he's Juan Pierre.
He's overvalued.
He's Juan Pierre at second base.
Right. Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, only time will tell. Maybe we'll check it out beginning of this year, and we'll see how things go. So we'll be right back with Kevin here on the Fansmanship Podcast. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah.
For this part of the podcast, we bring in fellow Dodger fan, A little bit more of a worry wart than Jesse and I. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, just hanging out at the house with the Munchkins.
Yeah, yeah, I know you got a bedtime coming up here pretty quick, so I wanted to have you, like I said, on as a as kind of a counterpoint, as somebody who's a little bit more concerned about the Dodgers' moves and not so sunshiny maybe about all of them that have taken place recently, especially in regards to the Kemp trade. But I want to go first, like, just to make sure you don't have any problems, I don't think, with like the D. Gordon trade, or are you kind of bummed about that one as well?
Like, I understand it. Like, it made sense because he was probably peaking. And I felt that they did get a pretty good prospect with, was it Heaney?
Yep.
I think that's his last name. But just to have him flipped right away for Kendrick, I don't know. It's just kind of like, well, that was a little, the only good, real part of that trade is now gone.
Well, I mean, maybe. You know, when you're dealing with prospects, you never really know, right?
True, but I mean, he was highly one of the higher touted, their highest touted pitching prospect. So,
yeah. Did you see his tweet today, Kevin?
Who's
Heaney?
No.
Oh, it was.
Oh, yeah, I saw it last night. It was early this morning when I was going to work. Thanks for the memories or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's been great being such a part of such a historic franchise. Thanks for the memories, Dodgers.
Definitely had a good personality. I think that would have been great in the clubhouse.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So kind of moving on, you know, so D. Gordon, I think we can all agree, was kind of the ultimate sell high guy. You know, kind of outperformed what we kind of maybe think that he is going forward. But I know that you were super bummed about Matt Kemp, as a lot of people were. I heard on MLB Network clip that I was watching with Matt Vasgersian, who's been, you know, a part of the Padres organization, you know, in the past. He's been their play-by-play guy. But on the MLB Network, he was talking about how it was like one of the top 5 days in Padres history to get Matt Kemp. And I thought that was a little bit hyperbolic, especially considering Kemp's track record over the last 3 years since his kind of amazing year he had, where he should have won the MVP over Ryan Braun. I know it's a bummer, but like, do you really think that Kemp is going to be the Kemp of old at the age that he is and moving forward for the next 5 years?
Well, the last two seasons, I don't think he'd ever really truly healed. And after the All-Star break last year, he definitely looked like the 2011 Matt Kemp. So, I mean, it's just that's a lot of a spark. You know, there's certain intangibles that you just don't get from any old player, and he seemed to have them. Yeah, he may have been a bit of a prima donna, but he could definitely hit the ball.
Yeah, and it's if you just judge the Matt Kemp trade for Grandel and a dude that has extensive injury history and another mid-level prospect, it really doesn't look great. Plus, you're sending $30 million. You know, I agree that trade looked at alone is awful. I mean, it doesn't look good. But then, you know, there's
it's
the count.
Fleecing.
Yeah, it looks that way. There's a counterpoint, though, like on FanGraphs. They think that it's the Vernon Wells trade and the Dodgers are the Blue Jays in that scenario where the Padres just did the Dodgers a huge favor. And I think if you think about it in terms of what that deal is going to look like, paying Matt Kemp $25 million a year in year four and year five when he's 35 and 36 respectively. I think when you look at it in those terms, in a couple of years, we're going to be talking about what a terrible contract it is.
Yeah, but as of right now, I mean, based on his production, like at the end of the second half, for sure, his contract was the most favorable.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
Getting, you know, if he'd have been a free agent, he would have easily been paid that.
Yeah, and he
based on what other people were getting. I mean, look what BJ Upton got. That
it's pretty clear
ridiculous.
That Matt Kemp is the outfielder with value since he's the one that got traded. We still have Ethier, we still have Crawford. So, I mean, there's no question that of the three guys, he's the one that people want and are interested in.
Well, I totally understand why he was because of the interest for sure, but I just feel that the Padres fleeced us.
I got a question, Kevin. If the Dodgers use that money that they saved. So while they gave the Padres $30 million, they also saved $75 million. 32 and 75 is 107, which is what Kemp was owed over the next 5 years.
Okay, but what are they paying the three guys?
Grandal's like team controlled. He's like under $10 million, and they were going to sign a catcher anyway. You know, so like he's actually a really cheap option at catcher, okay, as it were. And then the other guys are minor leaguers, right? So, you know, basically nothing. Okay. If they use that $75 million over the next 5 years to offset the cost of signing somebody like, I don't know, who's available? Max Scherzer?
They're not going to get him. He wants too much.
Well, so and say
Boris is asking for more than Lester got, which is going to be, you know, in the $200 million range. And well, I don't see the Dodgers doing that again.
Lester got what, 150?
155 or something.
For 6 years. So let's pretend like the Dodgers would 5 years. Jesse tells me. So let's pretend like the Dodgers want James Shields or Scherzer, or that they're somehow able to trade for Hamels and afford like a Hamels extension because of this $75 million that they freed up. Would that be something that would make you say, okay, like this is money that they, you know, weren't gonna spend because it was tied up in a guy like Kemp who was in a gluttonous outfield. We still have guys who can play, you know, and provide maybe as good production, even if it's not as much of a star name. Who knows how much production a lot of these guys are going to have. Kemp only, I think, was like a +3 in terms of like a war, if you're going to look at that number, versus, you know, Peterson could very easily be a 2 war player. And if you can get another...
Peterson also struck out 155 times in AAA.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's a lot of strikeouts. Totally. Especially in a hitter's favorable...
Yeah, they're putting a lot of faith. Yeah, they're putting a lot of faith in Peterson, I think, or in the fact that like Ethier or Puig can play center in the case that Peterson really flames out. I think that's definitely something.
Well, that's what the Heisey. I think Heisey is going to be their backup for center field.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, so there's like lots of other places they could put $75 million, right? In terms of either
trade. If they can get a top tier pitcher, I don't really know if Shields would be the guy. I mean, he's 33 years old, and
he'd be a pretty good 4 starter, though, right?
Huh? Yeah, he'd be a decent 4, but is he a decent 4 for $75 million for 3 years?
Yeah, you're gonna have to pay him like he's a 2 or a 3. You're not gonna get him for 4
in
money.
In my opinion, you're basically wasting the money that you were wasting to begin with.
But you're putting it in a place where you had a need versus a place that you didn't. And I think that's
the need was the bullpen. I mean, that's really what was, in my opinion, the major problem.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if any of these prospects that they got like end up being bullpen contributors like this year. Do you know what I mean? Like, because that's where prospects who are mid-range pitching prospects oftentimes like end up. I'm interested to see if they think that any of these guys that they got that are pitchers can manage, you know, bullpen roles, or kind of how they fill that. Do you think the Dodgers are more balanced now than they were a couple days ago, Kev?
Defensively, I think they're definitely a better ball club.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's I want to put faith in what the new regime is doing. It's just hard to see so much offense basically leave. I know defense wins championships, but without runs, you're not going to win either. So,
do you think that the Dodgers are better now than they were 3 days ago?
With Jimmy Rollins.
I don't know. It's for me. It's they're older. And the middle infield is definitely older,
and better, right? I mean, and better.
A little bit. It's not. Oh, what the heck was I reading the other day? It was. It's an improvement, definitely, but it's not like a dramatic improvement. I guess. I mean, for being a stopgap, I guess that's fine. Right. But who's to say what these prospects are going to turn into?
Right. And what's flexibility worth, right? I mean, they've really put a high value, I think, on just general organizational flexibility, because Matt Kemp was the opposite of flexibility. He was this contract that you just locked into. you know, and potentially going to give you some production for that. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting for me to see, Kevin, and I think this is maybe where we can all agree, you know, how much is flexibility worth during the season? How does that equate to a number of wins? You know, and if you're looking at it on paper in terms of WAR, it looks like the Dodgers are markedly improved from where they were 3 days ago, and maybe even close to, you know, and that's without throwing, you know, the Hanley Ramirez loss in the mix. They could theoretically be pretty close to what they were with Hanley because of the upgrades at catcher, the upgrade at second base, you know, and Jimmy Rollins' relative value, you know, is not low. And so, you know, to me, that ability to, you know, be flexible and maybe fill in some of the gaps that the team has. I don't think this is a team that's going to go into the season with a ton of gaps. I think they still have some, like you noted, in terms of the bullpen and other things. But I mean, we still got a lot of time, right, till spring training.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely gives them more flexibility for the 2016 season because there's going to be a for pitching for sure, because there's a lot of free agents, top tier free agents that are going to be coming out.
It's funny that Owen said that Matt Kemp is the opposite of flexibility because, you know, and don't get me wrong, let me preface this by saying that I'm a huge Matt Kemp fan. It's the only Dodger jersey that I own. You know, I love Matt Kemp. I loved the going to the games and chanting Kemp VP when, what was it? I guess it seems so long ago, but like 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, we're talking about a guy that when he got shifted off of center field, he was pissed off. When he was put in left, he was pissed off. He was put in right. He kind of finally sort of agreed to that. But, I mean,
well, it's because that's where he played when he first came up.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy that, by pretty much any metric that you look at, was not a good defensive center fielder.
Yeah, the Dodgers up the middle last year were horrid. Like, with Hanley, Hanley's not a shortstop anymore. You know, and the Red Sox are going to put him in left field. That's how bad he was. You know, D. Gordon, for as fast as he was, you know, metrics-wise, didn't really like him as much. He was kind of below average in terms of defensively. And Kemp then in center field was, I think, the worst defensive center fielder by all those metrics over the past few years. So you even get to zero, you know, and you save a number of runs, even with Jock Peterson out there, no matter how he hits. You get back to zero or above, you know, with Howie Kendrick, he's a little bit above average. And Jimmy Rollins, same kind of thing in terms of defensively. You know, that's going to be a big help, it seems like, you know, overall, too. And I think that's kind of the undervalued or potentially undervalued part of this that maybe regular fans don't see as much, too, in terms of like, okay, what's going to be the overall recipe for winning games? I'm interested to see if it all pans out, because I honestly don't have a great read on whether it will or not.
Yeah, well, if this flops, it's going to be, it was the most, you know, one of the most exciting winter meetings for sure, but then it's also going to be one of the most devastating if they flop. If they don't even, you know, get 85 wins, it's basically a failure.
I think that, and this is totally not related to anything that we're talking about, but I think that the winter meetings for baseball should be what football's draft is. They need to hype it up and make it into a whole big thing, have like televised press conferences all day long, and just because it seems like now that Twitter's out there, it's like a total frenzy, and I think that needs to be hyped up completely. And, you know, I can only imagine how exciting it was to be down there, and the Dodgers are like, oh, midnight, we're going to have a press conference about the 25 trades we just made in the last 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if hyping it up would be good, though.
You don't think it would be good?
I don't know, because right now there's so many different little rumors that just someone gets a little tidbit of information and they run with it, and so then it spreads like wildfire. I'd rather not hear rumblings and then just, you know, get something that's concrete or at least somewhat factual.
Yeah.
I think discerning the picking through the rumors is part of the fun, though. Like, the draft is very definite, and this has happened. I think the winter meetings would be, if they did it right, I mean, obviously it would take a talented person to put it together, but, you know, if they did it right, I think it could be really fun to watch on TV.
Head it up, Chewy. Put your name in the hat. New career. Screw architecture. I'm going to be a hype man.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, you could have a team of live bloggers blogging from the, I just saw this guy in the, you know, just like random, like, I just saw this guy in the lobby. It must mean he's getting traded.
You could even make it like partly red carpet, like, oh my God, can you believe that Theo Epstein is wearing red after Labor Day?
Well, MLB tried to do it. They were giving Frank, what the heck? They were giving him crap for wearing a suit. And he's like, this is the only other time you're going to see me wearing a suit is when I'm in, like, going in my grave. Francona, I think.
Nice. Right on. All right, Kevin. I know you got to get to bed or get your kids to bed.
He's having a snack. So. Nice.
I like it.
I can keep going.
Oh, you can keep going. Hey. Yeah. He wants to keep going. Tell me what you think about Jimmy Rollins. I mean, it's not like you traded Hanley Ramirez for Jimmy Rollins. Hanley Ramirez needed to go, and the Dodgers weren't willing to give him as many years as the Red Sox were, and I think we're all maybe okay with that in terms of how often he was injured.
I'm totally fine with Ramirez being gone. I mean, he spent the last 2 years basically hurt.
Yeah, right, exactly.
My big hope for the Red Sox is that they can get him a helmet that fits.
No kidding. Rollins, he's always been solid. Like, he's the type of person that I think you would want in your clubhouse. Because he's not afraid to voice his mind, but he's also one that is going to, you know, listen and adjust accordingly. So, and the one thing with Kemp, though, I know he, like I said, he's kind of a prima donna, but he at least stood up for Koolig and was like, dude, you need to check yourself.
Yeah, that'll be the other fun, I think, thing about this season is how does Puig like continue to develop or not, and what's his, and I know that that's part of like the negative side or the potential downside of trading Kemp is that if Puig goes in the tank, you really don't have a lot of good.
There's
right
no power from the right side
or no bats from the right side. I mean, really, when yeah. I mean Uribe is so up and down, he gets a lot of his value from the defense that he plays as well, and so yeah, it definitely will be an interesting year, at least how it's shaping up now. But I think by the time you see the end of the season or the beginning of the season, the end of the off season, you'll see the Dodgers with a little bit more depth, we hope, in places like the bullpen and starting pitching.
Hope so.
Yeah, we all do. We all do for sure. Kevin, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for joining us, and we'll have you on again sometime as the baseball season gets going.
All right. Thank you very much.
See ya.
Later, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.